I'd like to invite you to turn with me in God's Word to John chapter 1 in this Advent series as we are making our way slowly through the first part of John 1. Today we'll come to verses 9 through 13. This is God's Word. True light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we praise you for the word of God. We praise you for the word made flesh in our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for this portion of your word, so glorious and grand. We will barely scratch the surface of its truth and of its profundity today, of its transforming power. But we pray that you would, by your Spirit, take your word and that you would move among us through its truth and by your power to change us to be more in love with Christ, or maybe to love him for the first time. We pray that you would draw near to us. You would open our ears to hear. You would change our wills to follow. And you would renew our affections for you. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, they say the camera never lies. Isn't that right? All of us have had embarrassing photographs taken of us. Back in the old days, some of you won't know this, you had to send the film away to be developed. It took about a week or two, depending on what time of year it was. And so when that picture snapped, when the shutter opened and then slammed shut in that millisecond and captured a brief moment in time, you would get that picture back a week or so later, and only then would you discover that you had a silly look on your face, or you weren't very photogenic after all, or we all have photos like that, at least the ones that we remember from days long gone. Praise God for digital cameras, where now you can immediately check the facial expression that you had and you can just delete it. The camera does not lie. It takes a snapshot in a moment in time as it allows the light to come in and then closes in on it. Well, why all this talk about photographs? Well, because the word we get for photo comes from this word light, or enlightened here, speaking about Jesus. So, if you will, Jesus is a kind of photo, a photograph of the Father. He comes as the one who sprung into this world, who came from glory, from eternity, from perfect joy and bliss in heaven. And he entered into time, came into this broken, fallen creation in order to recreate it, in order to make all things new. At the incarnation of Jesus Christ, a light has dawned. The light bulb has come on. If you want to know who God is, you need to no longer grope around in the darkness or look within in the darkness of your own heart when you look honestly, but to find the full revelation of God himself, the God who made all things, as he is revealed in his Son, who was with God in the beginning, who was God, as we have seen. So Jesus is that perfect photograph, if you will, of who God is. The Apostle Paul to the Corinthians in the first chapter puts it this way: he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. True light was coming into the world, not artificial light, not partial light or dim light, not temporary light, the kind of light that you can reach over and turn out or blow out. But this is a light that has dawned. You recall from a couple weeks ago when we started our study in 1 John that very much in the background, in the backdrop of this passage, is the story of the first creation. That's why John starts in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. You go to Genesis chapter 1 and you find in the beginning God said by way of word, let there be light. And the light shone in the darkness. And through the gift and through the entry of Christ from eternity into time, he has come to usher in a new creation, to make all things new. John's talking about the dawn of a new creation where your life and mine can be transformed. No longer groping around in the darkness, wondering who God is and what he's like and should he be feared, but knowing God as Father as he makes us his children. In all of this revelation, if you want to get the right picture of who God is, you find it in Christ, who shines on all. Do you notice that here? He shines on all. This isn't the kind of inward illumination. This isn't just fantasy in the minds of some believers, those who trust in Christ. But he says he shines on all. So what's going on here? Not all believe in Jesus, of course. But he says the light shines on all. Well, of course the light shines on all because the darkness cannot overcome it. There are plenty of people who hide themselves from the light. There are plenty of people who run from the light. Plenty of people who are blind to the light, but that doesn't mean the light does not shine. If you bury your face in your hands and the light is on, you have not turned off the light. You have simply ignored that the light is shining. And it shines on all, even those who do not see it. There are two reactions to this light come to the world. One is rejection. The other is reception. Those who reject the light. John says, true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The very creator who gave people the feet to run away from the light, the lips to curse the light, has come into the world, and the world rejected God's own son. The world rejected its own maker. But God so loved the world, says John later in his gospel, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. God so loved the world. Of course, he was not surprised by how many rejected him. He wasn't shocked. That was anticipated. And still he came to grace this place of tears and to remake it. The world rejected him because the world in its dark state and we in our darkened hearts hated the light. That's what he says in John 3. This is judgment, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who is evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. No one wants their deeds exposed, their evil, dark deeds exposed to the light. And so people run from it. And the world, even though the light of Christ and the gospel is still being proclaimed, rejects its maker. Even his very own reject him. This is the supreme slap in the face. He came to his own, and his own received them not. Are you kidding me? After all of the predictions and promises and prophecies offered in the Old Testament scripture, getting them ready generation after generation for this one who was to be the fulfillment of all their hopes and all of their dreams, the consolation of Israel has arrived, and Israel, for the most part, rejects their Savior, rejects their Messiah. Why? Because they wanted a Savior on their own terms. In that day, they wanted a Savior that had political power or military strength to make their name great. But Jesus came in meekness and lowliness. He came to be crucified and to die They wanted a Messiah that they appreciated. They didn't want the kind of Messiah they needed. This profound mystery of the fact that so many of Israel did not come to saving faith in Jesus Christ is what consumes the Apostle Paul's mind for a few chapters in his greatest letter in the book of Romans, where he is wrestling with the reality that so few Jews came to Christ who said, I came first for the Jew and second for the Gentile. But remember, the Apostle Paul is the one too who loved the darkness, who was blind in spiritual death, who persecuted Jesus Christ. And it wasn't until he was confronted by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ and was struck physically blind that he was spiritually enlightened. And the eyes of his heart were opened. And God, through Christ, brought him into the light. So there are two ways to respond to the light, to Christ coming into the world. Either to think that this creation is enough, at least make the best of it, and to find some other thing or one to worship, some other kind of Savior, or, on the other hand, to receive him. To all who receive him, I want you to circle that word all. Every last one who receives Christ. It doesn't matter how weak you are. It doesn't matter how far you've wandered. It doesn't matter what culture you come from, what generational sin plagues your life, regardless of your failures and your weaknesses. For all who come, the light of Christ can reach to the furthest, darkest corner of your own heart. It reached mine, and it's reached many of yours. And because the light is not overcome by the darkness, it's still reaching hearts, isn't it? It's still coming to all of those who will receive him. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, not the kind of Christmas the world celebrates, where Santa says he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. Not only is that creepy, that is wrong. That's what people want to celebrate at Christmas? That some guy in the North Pole knows when I'm awake and when I'm sleeping and whether or not I'm good? When the real meaning of Christmas is that God has come to be good for us, because we couldn't be good for goodness sake. Because we hated the light. I would have never come into the light had not the light shone in my heart, had not Christ opened my heart, had not Christ opened your heart. For all who receive him, have you received Christ? To receive him is a sovereign act of free grace. It's a passive reception. And it's not like receiving a paycheck every 2 weeks for the work that you've done. And so you've earned your paycheck. It's not like receiving a package on your front stoop from Amazon that you paid for. It's like receiving, forgive this analogy, a presidential pardon. But not in such a way where the law is ignored. Everyone knows you're guilty. It's in plain view of everyone, and it's in plain view of God. Everyone knows you're guilty. But he doesn't set aside his justice in order to give us mercy. He sends forth his son in order to satisfy justice, in order to be our righteousness, and to live to love God and obey God with every breath he took and every action he engaged in. And every thought he had, he loved God and he loved others, and he did that for us. And then he was sent to suffer and die so that we might be forgiven, pardoned of our sin. To receive him is to yield to him the free offer of his grace to us. And that light is still shining, even in dark times like this, even in dark days like this. We sing in O little town of Bethlehem, where meek souls do receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. If Christ has not entered into your heart, if you have not received him, I have no idea why you're here today or why you bothered to click on the link to watch this service But maybe, just maybe, it's because God wants the light of Christ to burst in on your life and to make you new. Do you need a new start? Do you need a new beginning? Or you can find it in Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. To all who received him and all who believed in his name, unpacking what it means to receive him, to believe in him, that's to put your faith in him, to rely on him for everything, to bring nothing to the table except your emptiness and your neediness. Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the darkness of your sin. Saved from damnation and life without God forever. The light of Christ here. Believe in him. Believe in him.